There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Former Governor Don Siegelman. Former Governor Dr. Robert Bentley.
Wait a second. Wait a second. What was he doing there? All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5. It is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Yeah, so we'll talk about that with our buddy Todd Stacey in 1 second from Alabama Daily News. Also, I want you to take in everything here on the Fast Food Summit. You know, the questions about President Trump and bringing McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King.
I believe, I don't know if the weather changes things, but the Clemson championship team, the national championship team, will be coming tonight. It'll be exciting. Very great team, an unbelievable team. They'll be coming tonight, and I think we're going to serve McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
And pizza. He did not identify. I know that's a problem there. He did not identify the actual kind of pizza that would be at the White House. But I will say, we'll save this for the second half of the hour. To those who have said unprecedented that a president would have this focus on fast food, we'll open up the history books and go back through presidents and fast food on today's Midday Mobile. All right, I want y'all to say hello to Todd Stacey for the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and a man who was staked out there yesterday in Montgomery on Inauguration Day. Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
Good. So did you watch the parade? I didn't get to see. I watched the proceedings, but I did not get to see the parade.
Yeah, I was actually at the top of the hill, the top of Dexter Avenue near the Capitol. So I saw the end of the parade route where the governor and the lieutenant governor, all of them ended and climbed up the dais to get on the stage back again. So I saw all the end of it.
Now, a couple questions I got to ask you because I didn't see it. Number one, were there throws? I mean, I know this is, you know, I mean, this is how we see things from South Alabama. Down here in Southwest Alabama, if it's a parade, we usually throw something.
I did not see any beads, and I did not see any moon pies. to my great disappointment. I mean, goodness, you had some good mobilians there, but I did not see any moon pies or beads, unfortunately.
I think maybe if you could just drop a suggestion up there for the next inaugural parade, say, you know, if y'all want to make a little tip of the hat, even though y'all aren't going to, you know, send any money back to Southwest Alabama, if you could at least give them a little tip of the hat and do some throw some beads or something during the parade.
I think they'd be smart to. Well, shoot, Sean, I think we should have the next inauguration down there. It
now
sounded like the party went pretty well. So
yeah, so I mean, and I, you know, I said that to you last week, and I saw a little bit of discussion about that online. That it, maybe I'm just grasping for straws, some kind of hope here in the lost colony of Southwest Alabama, but the fact that Governor Ivey did have her party, her pre-inauguration party, down at Gulf State Park. Now, you can argue that that's probably to bring attention to Gulf State Park, but maybe it just shows that she does know we're down here.
It does, and you know, the lieutenant governor had a big reception for lawmakers and others in Birmingham, so it, you know, and that was a real big hit. So it kind of shows that maybe some of these inaugural events are getting outside of Montgomery, and I think that's a great thing. I think it'd be a great idea for the next governor to involve the whole state, you know, have little events from north to south, east to west to, I don't know, allow the public and citizens to come and, you know, visit with them a little bit. You know, yesterday's event was terrific. It was, you know, a little cold, but it was a very good event if you just wanted to participate in history. But, you know, not everybody can make it up to Montgomery on a random Monday. So I think it'd be a great idea to get it outside of Montgomery to kind of tour the state a little bit, just to invite interest from, the public from kids, from school age kids, get them involved and engaged in what the state is all about.
Yeah, and I've said this in the past. This is one of these, I would say, nonpartisan things that I would like my children. I have never been to an inaugural parade in Alabama. I want to do that. I want to take my children, no matter who, well, maybe with the exception of Bentley, no matter who would be getting inaugurated because, yeah, it's part of the fabric of our state, and it's something good to see. You can just kind of check that box off. Hey, I've done that.
There were a lot of kids there, and there were clearly, where I was sitting, I could see probably three or four school groups that were being led by their teachers, and that was really good to see. You know, they get to participate in history, and I wish we could have more of that.
Let's talk about yesterday too, and we'll get into the the speech from Governor Ivey that I, in my opinion, listened to yesterday. One of her best, if not the best I've heard. But the other part of this is the former governor's there, right? This is something that is done. You welcome the dignities, the invitations out for former governors. But I can't help to think that the distraction of having Dr. Bentley there. I invite him and have him not show up. That would have been kind of my move.
Yeah, it was certainly the news of the day. News broke over the weekend that Bentley had accepted his invitation to come. Like it or not, it is newsworthy that Bentley, who left office in disgrace, was going to attend. So, but not only that, we learned that Don Siegelman was also attending.
Yeah, they were right.
He obviously has some trials and tribulations of his own. So, yeah, it was kind of a distraction.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think we're having a little problem with the link right now. And I'll tell you what we'll do, because we'll probably have to reset that link. We'll run to the break here a little bit early, and then we'll come back more with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. That's the website. Make sure when we come back, he'll tell you how you can get signed up to get that email in your inbox each morning with all the news out of Montgomery. And there'll be plenty more news out of Montgomery, as you just had the opening act yesterday with the inauguration, because, of course, what's coming? Oh, yeah, session coming, and they're already working on the politic in Montgomery. We'll talk about that more with Todd when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:16, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And if you want information about Governor Ivey, members of the legislature, upcoming session, you need to get that email in your inbox each morning. And Todd's made it so easy, I could even sign up. Months ago, I did it without any help, man. It was easy.
So easy a caveman can do
that's
it,
right.
Right?
Yeah, even I can do it. That's right. So tell folks what they need to do.
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. And right there on the site, you can see the subscribe button. Just click subscribe. Enter your name and your email, and you're signed up. It's free, no cost at all. You'll get a daily email from me that runs down the top five news stories of the day, plus headlines from around the state and the nation, and front pages from all the state newspapers. It's a quick read if you want to catch up on what's going on in Alabama politics.
And seriously, I know this sounds cliched, but now more than ever going into session, people need to keep up with what's going on in Montgomery for sure, because it's about to be full. It's already, I think, full speed in Montgomery, even though it's not officially session. I want to get into that in a second. I do want a couple questions coming in for you, Todd, on the text line. This one, talk about the federal delegation was there. I saw Congressman Bradley Byrne. No, Martha Roby was there. Were our senators there? Somebody asking, was Doug Jones there?
They weren't. Congressman Byrne was there, and Congressman Martha Roby was there too. They were the only ones. And it's not really their fault. In fact, I talked to Martha. She had to hop on a plane immediately after and fly to Washington because they had votes scheduled yesterday. This event, you know, the inauguration is usually held over Martin Luther King holiday, you know, the Monday after Martin Luther King Day. And so generally the delegation is free to attend. That wasn't the case this year. And I actually heard, you know, a couple of congressmen were a little disappointed that they decided to hold it earlier. So it's not really their fault. They had, you know, they had to be in D.C. I suppose that Martha and Bradley both had, you know, plans to go ahead and scoot up to D.C. via air. So they were the only two there. But it was good to see the federal delegation there. I wish more could have attended, but no, they were the only two.
You mentioned over the MLK holiday, which reminded me, in the speeches of Governor Ivey and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, making reference to the history of our state, and I know the governor specifically talking about Dr. King, and this kind of dichotomy, the history of the state, not ignoring the history of the state, but also looking to the future. I thought it was a great speech from the governor, and I appreciated kind of saying, hey, you know, we are aware of our history and the things we embrace about it, things we can do better, and we're moving forward. I thought it was a real aspirational even speech for a governor.
It was, and you're right about her referencing Martin Luther King. I mean, when you're standing there on the stage, you're looking right at Dexter King Memorial Baptist Church, you know, which is really where the civil rights movement started. And so it's kind of hard to ignore, and it's great that the Governor Ivey and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth both laced that history throughout the speech. I was particularly impressed in how Ainsworth kind of handled it, because, you know, he talked about, you know, standing between these two pillars, the Capitol, you know, where the Civil War really began, and, you know, or at least politically, and then the Dexter King Church, where the Civil Rights Movement began. He talked about, you know, this is our history. We should embrace it. We should understand it and everything, but we should not be defined by it going forward. Let's be defined by a great education opportunities, you know. Let's be defined by a growing economy. Let's be defined by our great people now. I thought that was a tremendous message because, I mean, he's right. So often, you know, we are defined just nationally and throughout the world as, well, that's Alabama, you know, there's some trouble happened back in the day. It would be great to shake off that image and not ignore it, but shake it off to, you know, be known for better things and for more positive things.
All right, let's talk about some of the things the governor laid out yesterday, and none of these would be new to anybody that's read, you know, your work at aldailynews.com or listened to this show, but for the state at large, she kind of laid out the high points of what the governor is going to push for in the next 4 years. Education on there, but then got down in the nitty-gritty, like infrastructure, which of course means gas tax, right?
That's right. I mean, and it didn't take her long to get there to say, hey, you know, we've got a road and bridge problem, not just road and bridge, but port, airport, rail, things like that, that we really need to address. And she's going to be, I'm told that she is right now with her advisors and with some lawmakers. They're drafting up the basic points of legislation, what it could mean. So, yeah, I mean, she didn't shy away from it. She went right to infrastructure and said, look, we've got to do something. Let's all come together and find a way. You know, she did talk about some of the state's successes, particularly, you know, pre-K education, where we lead the nation as far as quality for our first-class pre-K program. But, you know, she didn't spend all the time bragging about good things. She talked about troublesome issues.
Right. That was the thing. I mean, she mentions infrastructure, which means gas tax. I'm saying, wow. And then she goes into the prison system. And it, for a inaugural speech, I said, good for Governor Ivey, because that's a kind of a speech where you might pass over some of those heavier lifts.
I agree. It wasn't all cheerleading. You know, it would have been easy for her to just, you know, talk about fun things, positive things, and kind of sugarcoat. She did not. And prisons is an interesting one. She said the line that Alabama needs to take care of Alabama problems. And what that was a hint to was, we don't want to see the federal government come in and take over the prison system, because that would trigger automatic tax increases. It would trigger prisoner releases. So that was a hint, you know, a wink and a nod at, look, we've got to fix this problem before it gets a lot worse and a lot more painful by the feds coming in. I thought that was an interesting choice of words, and I think most of the crowd probably got it.
Okay. With that being said, in our system, the legislature is stronger than the governor, the legislative branch a lot stronger than the executive. But the executive branch does have what the governor did yesterday, the bully pulpit, to kind of put people on notice. Not that they had never heard of it, but they kind of put on notice by the governor that I'm telling the people that this is a thing, they're going to be watching.
That's right. But, you know, interestingly, on the prison issue specifically, they're kind of passing the buck back and forth here. Yeah, the legislature funds prisons; it's a line item. But what they're talking about right now is doing some kind of executive contract to go out and build a bunch of new prisons, and that would not require the legislator's direct approval. Hmm. It would just require approving a contract. And so you see what I'm saying there? Like they're. You know, nobody really wants to grab the alligator by the tail. You know, maybe you can have this authority, maybe you can do this. So we'll see what actually happens. But the governor does have some authority in terms of if we're going to go out and build a bunch of new prisons, they can do that through a contract. Not the most transparent thing in the world, but probably the easiest way to go about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, what we need to do is when they push the lotto, it needs to be Alabama's prison lottery.
well, Sean, you know, we've been talking about that and kind of joking about that on your show for, I guess, a couple months now. I finally started to hear that from lawmakers recently about, hey, you know, if we really need money from a lottery, let's give it for prisons, let's give it for healthcare. And I don't know if they're joking or not, but they're kind of right.
Well, it's true. No, it would be a use if that's a place where we need money. It's just, you know, looking at this for decades, the idea of, it's funny how people are, it could be the same mechanism in a lottery, and it depends on what it's for, if people agree with it or not. It's not the lottery itself. If it's for the kids, then it's okay. If it's for building prisons, I'm probably not for that.
That's right. I did speak with Del Marsh, you know, President Pro Tem Del Marsh, about the lottery issue yesterday. He said, look, you know, you're going to see proposals, but it's not on anybody's agenda. It's not on the leadership or Governor Ivey's agenda to say, hey, we're going to do this year. He said there are a few lawmakers that are going to definitely propose a lottery, but he doesn't know what that might mean or what it might try to fund. So it's a sexy issue to talk about. It, you know, it generates a lot of debate, but nobody has it on their list of priorities for the state. Not at least not the legislative leadership or Governor Ivey.
How much stuff is you've got such experience in this? How much is done? You know, you had the parties the night before Sunday night, had parties last night in Montgomery. I know there's meetings going on. Session doesn't start till March, but how much sausage making is going on right now in Montgomery?
I think a great deal, actually, especially with the budgets. You know, the budget crunchers in Montgomery are at work right now coming up with all the numbers that the legislature is going to use to craft legislation. So that, you know, they'll get those proposals probably within a couple of weeks as far as where we are on the budgets. Those hearings will begin in February. So, look, yeah, the session doesn't start until March, but they're already, you know, talking and arranging and getting their ducks in a row. But I'll say this, on the main issues, everybody has been in agreement on the problems, on what the problems are. And that's a good start. It's good that they're going ahead and talking about these things, because the biggest mistake that either the governor or the legislative leadership could make is dropping a bill without allowing their other lawmakers to read it, especially these new guys. The last thing you want to do is surprise somebody with, hey, we're coming with this gas tax and I didn't even talk to you about it. They need to be talking. They need to be gauging interest, gauging support for this and that, because the best way to kill a bill is to come out of nowhere and surprise somebody. You know, that that would not be a good idea. So, yeah, there's plenty of sausage making, as you said, going on right now in Montgomery.
All right. I want to talk about, we'll call them the Camden Trio or the Camden Trifecta yesterday, but I might end up at a place different than you think when I mean the Governor Ivey, former Attorney General, former Senator Jeff Sessions, who you said in your notes steals the show yesterday. I thought it was good to see him there. But also there behind the governor, you saw one-time congressman and Joe Bonner, who is now going to become the new chief of staff for Governor
That's
Ivey.
Right.
So another Camden, so three Camden folks there. But the biggest story right now for me, just in the short term, is Joe Bonner in and Steve Pelham out.
That's right. And, you know, that has been speculated for, man, months. In fact, I was kind of hearing rumors last night at one of the galas. And, you know, I kept trying to get confirmation and never could get it. Otherwise, I would have put it in the news this morning. So, yeah, Steve Pelham, he has been Governor Ivey's chief of staff going back to when she was lieutenant governor. He's been an advisor for her for years. He's going to be leaving. He's going to Auburn University to work in economic development there. That's his alma mater, and I think that deal's been in the work for a while. You know, he's done his stint in state and federal government, and so it's a pretty cool gig to get to go work at Auburn. And Joe Bonner, who everybody knows, has joined the administration about a month ago as a senior advisor. So this is a natural sort of ascension to chief of staff. Everybody I know is pretty excited about it in terms of, hey, yeah, you know, Steve did a great job, but you're not skipping a beat because you're getting Joe Bonner. And, you know, everybody, most people I know really like Joe Bonner, you know, whether it was as congressman or his work in Tuscaloosa for the University of Alabama. He's got a lot of great experience. He's been a chief of staff before. He knows how to manage a staff. So I think it's a great pickup for her team. And you're right. It's another Camden, you know, connection that it's these things know no ends.
It's a hotbed there. I don't know what it is. We'll have to figure out what's going on there in Wilcox County. But three of them represented. And we're going to talk about this more going forward. I know there's going to be a lot between now and the actual start of session. And remind folks, once again, they want to read up on what's going on in Washington and in Montgomery. What's the website and how do they sign up for the newsletter?
That's right. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Right on the front page, you can see the button subscribe. Just click it, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on my list. I send out an email every morning, and that's where you can get an easy, quick rundown of what's going on in Montgomery, across the state, and in Washington, D.C.
As always, man, I appreciate it. We'll check back soon.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Todd Stacey checking in. Coming right back. Grab some calls here after the news. Phone number 343-0106.